Chapter 21. Your name is Liar. Where are the others? I asked as Rico and I climbed into the back of the Coyote van. The seats had been removed. The van had an Arizona plate. Hara gave me a scornful look. The others? That's nothing you need to know. In the back of the van were two large backpacks overflowing with packages of tortillas and canned goods, mostly meat and fish. We sat on a big cooler with no ice that was filled with gallon jugs of water. You might have been wondering why I didn't invite one of you to sit up front in my passenger seat, Hara called as he drove out of Sasabe. My friend is sitting next to me. Who is your friend? Rico asked. Hara reached over and picked something up off the seat. A big pistol in a holster. Recognize it? Should we? Border Patrol gun. 40 caliber Beretta, semi-automatic, 11 rounds in the magazine, reloads. The mosquito put the gun down and reached for a CD. He turned the volume high as it would go, some punk like himself rapping about the Border Patrol committing crimes against innocent mojados. Hara rapped along as he fishtailed around the curves on the washboard road, leaving behind a rooster tail of dust. Hang on, Rico said. We had to brace to keep from falling to the floor. I told myself to remember that millions of wets, including Rico's father and mine, had been at the mercy of the coyotes. Still, it was impossible not to loathe Hara. Such a vile person to sport El Cristo Rey on his chest. This was a terrible sin. For the time being, I didn't have to look at his tattoos. Our driver was wearing a tan soccer jersey to blend in with the desert. His stupid purple forelock was sticking out from above the strap on a green baseball cap worn backward. Gone were the gold chains around his neck, the diamond studs in his ears. The chicken wrangler wanted to blend in with his chickens in case he got caught. There's room for another 15 or 20 mojados in here, I joked to Rico. What's the deal? Seriously, why just us? Who knows? He grunted. Rico was looking very unhappy. I guess we'll pick some up along the way to our starting point, I said. Why all this food and water? We didn't have to supply our own. Rico didn't bother to answer. If he was annoyed, how was I to feel? He'd called his brother without even bringing it up, arranged all of this in my name without ever including me. And then there was the $1,500 hanging over my head. Easy for him, but how was I going to repay it? I turned my attention to the rugged Babokivari mountains rising sharply from the desert plain. We skirted the foot of them and continued west, in and out of many gullies, on the Mexican side of the Indian reservation. The road had a lot of traffic for an area so thinly settled. We hadn't yet laid eyes on a rancho. Hara must have been bored. Suddenly, he turned the music down. Hey, Villa, he called, meaning me. Zapata told me you thought you two could cross the border all by yourselves? Hike through the desert, just the two of you? I thought we could, I admitted. That's crazy, Villa, especially in the death season. What's that, mosquito? If you have to ask, you wouldn't have lasted 2 days. Death season is May until October. Have you checked the calendar lately? The mosquito started laughing, then said, We'll find out how soon what you're made of, Villa. Zapata said you could handle it. I'm not so sure. Victor Flores is my name. You are a runt, Villa. With a name like Flowers, I think you are also too weak. Who cares what you think, I said, as long as you get me through.